Our next presentation is going to be by Pat Walker. Pat has been in private practice for a long time and just recently moved to Galveston, Texas to be at the UTMB Medical Center there. Dr. Walker.
I'm hoping that the sparse turnout is reflective of the lower intensity focus on maintenance certification that we've had in previous years when it was a very popular topic, particularly for the anarchists. So I'm going to talk about continuous certification, which is now was maintenance certification, and go through things. And I think that from a board viewpoint, we need to remember that the board, like the college, basically, was established to ensure the public that physicians are maintaining confidence over the course of their career. It's not specifically, although most surgeons or all surgeons value their board certification, it's not for you guys. It's to ensure the public and the users of the system that surgeons are competent. Self-regulation is a privilege that most physicians feel is important in the United States, and that comes down to one of the biggest points of this is that when we were dealing with the anti-MOC group in the last few years, it wasn't that people on the board didn't want change or realize that change was needed. It was felt that us regulating ourselves was much, much more appropriate than the government. There are still some in the group that would rather legislate physicians rather than us be self-legislative, and I would disagree with that statement. So to participate in maintenance certification, to maintain your professional identity, update your knowledge, and improve patient care. So one of the most common topics is if you read the communities or if you go to the anti-MOC folks, they would say that we have no evidence that maintenance certification or even, I guess, education or anything is reflective of politics. But that's not really true. These are a couple of articles. The first one was a review that cites 811 articles that have analyzed MOC, and the second one, 1,700 articles. Now, admittedly, when you dive down into these two articles, only a few of the articles of those numbers were actually good science. But this is being studied. It's not like that this is a dark realm of understanding about the value of knowledge and association with quality. So I'm going to go through some facts based upon some of the articles that have been written. To start this, more subspecialists participate in maintenance certification physicians with a primary certificate. Anesthesiologists specifically have been surveyed, and they value self-assessment activities over high-stakes exams. Plastic surgeons say that board certification plays a role in employment, and I think many of these statements can be stated over most all specialties. More than 80% of hospitals require board certification, and approximately 90% of physicians practicing in the United States are board certified now. So this is I'm going to start with this paper by the plastic surgeons that shows that as they surveyed their physicians on these 20 core procedures, that almost 90% of practicing physicians, plastic surgeons, weren't adhering to their core principles and standards. So it means that there is still plenty of room for improvement out there. And I think that almost all these slides, all this is plastic surgeon, we go through multiple specialties. The statements are true across other specialties. I looked at my slides, they didn't have a lot of color. I really like talking more about snake bites than this topic, so I thought I'd throw a few snake pictures in. This is Crotalus atrox. That's the western diamondback responsible for the most of the 6 to 8 deaths that occur every year of snake bite. So this is a family physician statement. Family physicians who maintain certification perform better than recent graduates. They increased their examination scores by almost 17 points each successive time they took the exam, with scores reaching their highest point 28 to 31 years after initial certification. This is a statement that basically you can still learn as you get older. I think Dr. Stewart's going to show you some evidence that most people as they get older don't learn as quick, but there is ability for us to stay competitive. This is Crotalus adamantius. That's the eastern diamondback. That's our largest poisonous snake in North America. It reaches lengths of about 12 feet. This is a study on maintenance certification by family practice, basically saying that if you look at clinical measures, and they looked at 24 clinical measures, that in 11 of those, the physicians who participated in their maintenance certification program, and they had two parts, self-assessment as well as their performance and practice modules, that they improved their practice. And this is all done statistically. So basically, if you participate in MOC, you practice better medicine as regards to a number of topics. That's Crotalus scutellatus. That's the Mojave rattler, which has a very lethal venom. It has both neurotoxins and cytolytic toxins, which is a little bit different than most of our pit vipers. So this is anesthesia. They have their MOCA minute. Probably a lot of you guys have heard your anesthesia colleagues talking about doing these tests. And a survey of 634 of their diplomates, that 94% of them took facts from their MOCA minutes and applied it to practice, showing that their self-assessment program, their continuing certification program, is useful in making changes in clinical practice. That's Crotalus horridus. That's a timber rattler, also known as a canebrake rattler. And I'll tell you, you find one of those in the woods, it'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. The majority of physicians felt that their lifelong learning self-assessment was relevant. This is a study from emergency medicine, feeling that almost 90% of their emergency physicians felt that their lifelong learning led to some knowledge that would change their practice. Again, iterating that continuing education helps you make changes in practice and can help you become a better physician. That's Keystone contortrix, that's a common copperhead responsible for most of the venomous bites in the United States, not deaths. So this is from, this is a very large study of Medicare patients showing that in medicine patients that if you participate in maintenance certification, your cognitive skills get better, particularly as regards to taking care of diabetes and management of clinical factors in diabetes. You're better at ordering mammograms correctly and doing lipid testing in patients with cardiovascular disease. That's a copperhead that was taking his last breath at my ranch right before the shoal hit him. Maintenance certification requirements. This is a really important paper, and it doesn't look like as much when you look through it, but it shows that the internal medicine docs, this was a very large study, that participated in maintenance certification requirements could practice much more efficiently, not ordering lab tests that were not needed, radiographic tests. And although the number looks like a small number, that they improved their practice at 2.5% better, lower cost, when you multiply 2.5% times $2 or $3 trillion, or at least $500 billion that was reflected in this study, that's a lot of savings, and more than is offsets the cost of participation in maintenance certification. That's a coral snake. There's three species of two genus of coral snakes in the United States. They're the elapid family, which is the same as the cobras, the crates, the mambas, the taipans, the brown snakes. So this is the paper that Mark alluded to earlier, saying in a different statement that general surgeons in the on-time recertification group have less loss of license. In other words, we think that implies that you are practicing at a higher level. I think one of the greatest problems in all board certification, and it's true everywhere, is it can't assess the way you operate. And that's why Part 1 is so important, where your fellow surgeons can say, Joe's a bad surgeon, Jane's a bad surgeon, and can write that in, because it's very difficult on paper to have any assessment of that. So thank you guys for participating. I think, who's next? Oh, I got two more slides. Excuse me. I got carried away looking at that snake. So these are some comments about our new continuous certification program with the American Board of Surgery, these all come from the communities, which has been very critical of the board and made certification over the last couple of years. And I'll just let you read these. But basically, there's been accolades, and very few people have been critical of the new continuous certification program. Anybody out there taking the new test, the new quiz? A couple of people, even Mary. That's very good. Yeah, I think it's a much better test and much more oriented toward learning than the other one. I didn't like the third semester. I passed still birdshot. It was much less painful than the previous. I felt personal about that since I was on the research exam committee for 8 years and kind of was responsible for that quiz. And I thought it was a pretty good quiz, but I guess the new one's a lot better. So, again, more statements from the communities, from physicians, talking about how about the new continuous certification exam. I don't think you have to fear it. You don't need to prepare for it in advance. The references that the questions are taken from are available on the board website. You can get them in advance and look at them, but you don't really need to. You'll sit down and take the quiz over 4 to 6 hours, but you've got a two-week window to do it as such. But I think it'll be a positive statement for all of you guys. You'll learn something that you didn't know and help you keep up to date. So thanks for your time. And who did you say is next, Mark? Okay, Mark's going to announce.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.